It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening and welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Politics and Christianity both in the news right now. A mob of anti-ICE protesters busted into a St. Paul, Minnesota church in the middle of a Sunday service because they got wind of the fact that one of the pastors worked with ICE. Gee. A Christian minister also involved with law enforcement? What is the world coming to? The demonstrators were connected to a group called Racial Justice Network. The church was City's church. The self-righteous disruptors chanted the same kinds of mantras heard at other protests all over Minneapolis, including the tired lie, and it is a lie, that anti-ICE protester Renee Good was murdered when in fact she was shot in self-defense because her car hit an ICE officer. Former CNN host Don Lemon accompanied them, apparently trying to get himself back in the spotlight. We're not interested, Don. Nobody cares what you have to say anymore, Don. And this didn't help, Don. A woman named Nikema Armstrong said to Don Lemon, "This cannot be a house of God while harboring someone directing ICE agents to wreak havoc on our community. I am a reverend on top of being a lawyer and an activist, so I come here in the power of the Almighty God." You come here in the power of your almighty mouth. So you can be a lawyer, but you can't be a law enforcer. Is that the way it works? Anyway, speaking of law enforcers, this person has since been arrested by our Justice Department. Along with Chantel Louisa Allen, who bragged about organizing the protests, Allen is a Black Lives Matter leader and member of the St. Paul Public Schools Board of Education. She compared herself to Jesus, saying she had been inspired by his cleansing of the temple. She says, "I grew up in the church, and one of the things that I remember about Jesus Christ is that when things weren't going right in the church, he went in and he flipped the tables." I just love it when people who know absolutely nothing about the Bible pull passages out of context to fit their own skewed agendas. Yes, Jesus cleansed the temple. He turned over money changers' tables because they were crooks. They were inspecting animals brought into the temple for sacrificing, which according to the law of Moses had to be without blemish, unblemished animals. The temple inspectors would fail such animals brought before inspection, and by an amazing coincidence, they had alternative animals, supposedly unblemished, that they could sell you as a replacement. These were the smog inspectors of the first century. You want to find an analogy for now, for our time? The analogy, my friends, would be Jesus' opinion of fraud. Fraud, that has a familiar ring, especially in Minnesota these days. Like the billions of government tax dollars given to Minnesota for all kinds of so-called welfare and community funding, including the funding of children's schools, which never had children and never had teachers and, well, never existed. Since many of the fraudsters were here illegally from Somalia, ICE was brought in. So while we're on the subject of ICE and borders and the Bible talks quite a bit about borders. God himself laid out the borders for the territories held by the 12 tribes of Israel. But Don Lemon seemed jubilant that he was covering this event. This is going to put him back in the headlines. Well, it's putting him in the headlines, all right. Here he is sparring with one of the pastors.
I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
but there are folks
I have to take care of my flock. Okay,
but listen, we live in there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yeah. We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me though.
We're here to worship Jesus.
Oh my God, he's
that's why we're here. Okay. That's why we're here. Okay. That's what we're about.
Do you think Jesus would be understanding
love
these folks?
We're about spreading the love of Jesus.
But did you try to talk to them as a Christian?
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I love this. I just love this. Lemon says, why not have a conversation? Talk to them. That sounds great. But as the pastor said, the mob wasn't there for a conversation. Mobs never are. We've heard this from the left for years. We need to have a conversation. Whenever somebody says we need to have a conversation, they're not really talking about a conversation. I remember Attorney General Eric Holder right after Obama had been elected and he had been selected as Attorney General right after. This country needs to have a conversation about race. We just elected a black president, but that doesn't exonerate us from racism. Well, I didn't vote for that guy, but a lot of people did. He won the election. And that didn't matter. We have to have a conversation about race. Whenever the woke mob tells you you need to have a conversation, they mean you need to sit still and keep your mouth shut and listen to some smug, self-righteous, sanctimonious lecture. There will never really be a conversation or anything that resembles a conversation. As many of you know, I'm a Christian apologist, and among other things, including debates and one-man dramas and lectures, I used to travel the country, sponsored by a group called Campus Ambassadors, and I did what they called outdoor open-air evangelism, where they would reserve the free speech area outside. This is because you can invite people to hear some speaker. That doesn't mean they're going to come. This is where the people already were. And of course, if they didn't like what I was saying, they could move on. But I wasn't out there screaming hellfire and brimstone. I was simply taking their questions about Christianity. How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? How do we know Christ rose from the dead? Can we trust the Genesis account? What about evolution? Why does a loving God allow suffering in the world? Open-air evangelism. Well, I was brought out to Penn State, and in that particular case, I was there to speak at some churches and some other events. They didn't call me out to do open-air evangelism, but with one of the ministers hosting me, we did go out to the campus a couple of days in a row, and at their speech area, they had another evangelist. Now, he didn't travel the country like I did. He was local, but he was doing something very similar. He was in the free speech area. He was answering their questions. He was doing it as an apologist. He was friendly. He was intelligent. He was thoughtful. He was willing to have a conversation. But one smart-mouthed college student had to keep interrupting him. He would get up, shout over him, pretend that he was an evangelist, a mock evangelist, and he was there to promote the existence of Santa Claus. Now, Rudolph was the smartest of all Santa's reindeer. He thought it was just hilarious, and this guy would say, "You're interrupting me." And then he'd say, "No, I have a right to be here. Freedom of speech. This is the free speech area. Well, this is my speech." Well, obviously, I related to the apologist. I sympathized with the apologist. I had been in situations where people had tried to interrupt me, so I defended him. I took this protester, this student, aside. I said, "Why don't you let him talk? All you're doing is interrupting him. He has a right to be here. He has a right to express his opinion." He says, "Well, so do I." I said, "Yeah, you do. So go reserve your own place to talk or wait till he's finished." But drowning him out, that is not free speech. That is preventing somebody else from speaking. Drowning somebody out is not in the spirit of free speech. So this guy was presenting two false ideas. One, that Christianity is a fable believed in by blind faith. But as I said, the speaker was actually presenting all kinds of objective evidence. And two, that interrupting a public speaker is free speech. By the way, part of the First Amendment is not just about freedom of speech, but freedom of religion. Attorney General in Minnesota Keith Ellison says the disruption of a church service does not violate any law or the Constitution. Oh, really? Can you just imagine if this was a bunch of MAGA supporters interrupting a mosque service? They'd be whisked off to jail faster than Wile E. Coyote can blow himself up, courtesy of Acme. Meanwhile, Don Lemon, quite proud of himself, doubled down in an interview following this church invasion.
I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a white supremacy. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America, and you have a platform, and you're the biggest name. Of course, you're going to be the person that they single out, and they're going to make the headline because it plays to their base. And their base is full of racist, bigoted homophobes.
Mr. Lemon, since you're being so generous with your opinion, let me respond with some facts. The kind of Christianity you practice is not Christianity. Let me say that again. The kind of Christianity you practice is not Christianity. A Christian doesn't accuse a congregation of being white supremacists without a shred of evidence. Objections to fraud are not racist simply because the fraudsters are Somalis who happen to be black. Neither is a church racist simply because a lot of white people are in attendance. Would you make that same comment about a church with mostly black people? Some churches are set up and called black churches. And ICE agents aren't anti-immigration. They aren't anti-Hispanic. They are anti-illegal. Half the people who work for ICE are people of color, black, Hispanic. Another reason, Mr. Lemon, that you do not practice true Christianity is your endorsement of the gay lifestyle. Homosexuality is listed in the Bible as a sin, even though it's very unpopular to say that these days. But the scriptures couldn't possibly be more clear. And I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to tell you what the scriptures say. You brought up Christianity? Fine, let's talk about it. Now, the Bible lists many sins, and all of us as human beings are guilty of some kind of sin. I am guilty of sin. But we become Christians by confessing our sin, not justifying it. Now, that doesn't mean God hates gays. That doesn't mean Christians hate gays, despite the media portraying them that way with their own prejudice, with their own agenda. It just means that an endorsement of that lifestyle is not biblical and not Christian. You can call yourself a Christian if you want, Mr. Lemon. I'm not going to stop you. We live in a country that believes in freedom of speech. So say whatever you want. Call yourself whatever you want. But that freedom includes, by definition, the freedom to worship without being harassed. Of course, Christianity is not the only religion under assault. So is Judaism. Jews are part of both a religion and a culture. And whereas American Jews used to find protection in the Democratic Party, those days are gone. According to Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, back in 2024, when he was on the short list for Kamala Harris's VP, she asked the governor if he would be willing to apologize for statements criticizing anti-Semitic demonstrations on college campuses, which followed the monster Hamas attack of Israel on October 7th, 2023. He refused to apologize. Well, good for him. Good for him for taking a stand and not selling his own people down the river. Of course, just to be thorough in our commentary, Shapiro still went on after that and campaigned for Harris all year. Oh, well, I guess he needed to work against Donald Trump, even if that meant putting a spineless, stupid anti-Semite into office. And thank goodness she didn't win. Thank goodness she was never put in office. But yeah, he campaigned for her. After all, Trump is a threat to democracy. Under Trump, we're headed toward a monarchy. Speaking of monarchies, leftists in America aren't the only ones concerned. They're not the only ones with no kings protests. They were also concerned in Davos, Switzerland, in preparation for the World Economic Forum. Yes, a no kings sign was placed on a mountain slope in Davos because Trump was on his way. I guess they forgot that so many of the other countries attending actually have honest-to-goodness kings, real kings. In Great Britain, there's King Charles, Belgium as a king, Jordan as a king. Okay, that's just a few countries. Fine. We can also throw in Netherlands, Spain, Norway, Malaysia. I could go on. But the president of a free country with a First Amendment in a constitution written for a recently freed colony, a colony that freed itself from the tyranny of King George, is criticized because he's supposedly a king. By the way, countries like Great Britain, who we broke off from, who got better over the years, no longer have protections like our First Amendment. They arrest people who criticize Islam. They arrest people who criticize the woke movement. And England isn't the only country doing this. Oh, well, I guess free speech in Europe isn't a major issue. Climate change is the real threat, which is why Al Gore was also in Davos speaking once again about global warming. Al Gore is very concerned about climate change and thinks you too should be concerned. Climate change is an inconvenient truth. Climate change is an inconvenient truth. Yeah, well, let's take a look at his track record. For example, Gore said during a speech at the Copenhagen Climate Conference in 2009 that there was a 75% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap during some of the summer months could be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years. Within the next 5 to 7 years. And he said that in 2009. The ice caps are still there. In his 2006 documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, Gore predicted that the global sea level could rise as much as 20 feet in the near future. They gave this guy the Nobel Peace Prize and the Academy Award for making these kinds of statements. But anyway, since 1880, the global sea level has risen 8 to 9 inches. And between 1993 and 2021, the sea level has gone up 3.8 inches. That's according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. At that rate, and I didn't do the math they did, at that rate, it would take approximately 1,136 years for the world's sea level to rise 20 feet. Meanwhile, someone else at Davos had a thing or two to say about climate change, President Trump. And his subject was green energy like windmills. I'm capsulizing a little, but he said this in a speech to the Europeans, and I just bust out laughing. Trump says, windmills are part of the Green New scam, and they are destroying your land. You lose money every time they turn. Have you noticed that China doesn't use any windmills for energy in their country, but they build them and sell them to stupid people? All right, I have a better idea. A great untapped source for energy. Let's get Al Gore's big mouth, along with Don Lemon's mouth, along with Kamala Harris's mouth, and harness them. The energy from their countless nonstop moronic comments could provide a year's worth of energy for the entire state of New Jersey. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. Although if you're actually listening on broadcast radio right now, you may be having some issues. We're having some tech problems at the station. The streaming is working, and I know a lot of people are listening on the stream, so you're unaware of any issues. And those of you trying to listen to the broadcast probably do not hear me at all. Well, I am going to be joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas, in a couple of minutes, but he's actually with one of our technicians right now trying to get this worked out. I do want to tell you ahead of time, though, when Brendan comes back, he wants to give a special tribute to Jim Barrier. And let me tell you why I was going to mention this. Jim Barrier, who you've known for years, one of my co-hosts who comes on once a month and was even in the studio with us just 2 weeks ago. He lives in Texas and he had a heart attack. Now, it wasn't the kind of heart attack where he toppled over, but he felt a tightening in his chest. His wife took him to emergency. But when they checked him, he was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. They found one completely clogged artery and another one or two that were half clogged. They put in some stents. He's fine. He was released from the hospital just one day later. He's home. He's resting. He will be having bypass surgery in a few weeks. So please be in prayer for Jim Barrier. Let me tell you a little bit about next week's show. I got a very interesting email the other day, and it was a blast from the past. You won't recognize this unless you were listening to me as far back as 2005. This guy says, "Hi, Bob. I am not sure if you remember me, but my name is Zach Kroger, and we first met when you did a debate at Central Washington University circa 2005. I was an annoying 21 or 22 year old, and you had me on your show a number of times, which I was always so flattered by. Anyway, I was chatting with a friend the other day about random things we have done that people likely wouldn't know about, and I mentioned that when younger, I was friends with this guy who had a Christian radio show out of San Diego, and that I would sometimes go on as the token skeptic. It made me laugh. It also made me really appreciate the intellectual spirit in which you engaged with people. It is something that I look back on fondly. Anyway, I just wanted to say hello since I was thinking about you. I am now in Colorado, where I have been since 2011. I used to work for Colorado College, but now I'm at Colorado Springs branch of the University of Colorado. Things are good here, though freezing right now, and life is good. I hope everything is well with you and that your 2026 is off to a good start." Well, I wrote him back, told him I remembered him fondly too. He was an atheist, but people would listen to the show and contact me and say they were amazed and impressed at how friendly our dialogues are. And you've seen me do that with others too, but particularly in the case of Zach and myself, we were really modeling the idea that you can disagree and do it in an atmosphere of respect. So I contacted him back, and he's actually going to come on the phone again as a guest next week for old time's sake. He told me he hasn't thought as much about atheism over the years, although he is still a skeptic. Perhaps he's promoted himself to agnostic and not atheist. I don't know. But he did say he could talk about the universities. Possibly we'll get into some what he called culture war issues. There's a huge cultural divide going on in our country. Speaking of which, what's going on in Minneapolis is absolutely reprehensible. And in my opinion, the governor of the state and the mayor of the city city have blood on their hands. They're literally, and then not just them, so many Democrat politicians, national politicians from Congress, from the Senate, are going on TV and encouraging people to get in the faces. They're stopping just a hair from saying being violent, but they're encouraging them to get into these guys' faces. We have not seen the likes of this since the Civil War. And frankly, I think our country is on the verge of another civil war. I hope I'm wrong. It won't be like the last war where we fought over slavery, and it won't be like the last war where the states across the Mason-Dixon line above and below were evenly divided, because we have red states here and then blue states there. So I don't know what this would look like, but I hope we don't have it. They are now threatening the Democrats to shut, you know, we had that shutdown in the fall, and they're threatening to shut the government down unless they promise to defund ICE. I think we may see some Republicans cave. If the Republicans don't want to cave, they can keep the government from shutting down by simply outvoting the Democrats in the Senate. It's probably, the Democrats aren't probably going to get their way in the House. They can keep them from voting this in the Senate, but they would have to get rid of the filibuster. And I think our spineless, idiotic, rhino Republicans are going, "Oh no, the filibuster, time-honored tradition." Great. Have your time-honored tradition and plunge our country into a civil war. If you guys fall asleep at the switch and allow ICE to get defunded because of that stupid, moronic filibuster, which never should have been put into law, well, then it's going to be on you. You're going to be like the enabling wife, and the Democratic Party is going to be the abusive husband. Looks like maybe we got some things worked out. Brendan, are we on the air broadcast-wise now?
We are back on the air, live on the air, everybody.
Welcome those just joining us on conventional radio. Those of you that have been on the internet were never aware that any problem happened. All right. Well, I know that cut into some of the things you had.
It did, tonight, unfortunately, Brendan. But I will go through it very quickly. So as you stated earlier, Jim Barrier had a little health scare for sure. I don't know if, did you read his Facebook post?
I did not read out loud his Facebook post.
Let me go ahead.
I shared some of the details from there, but go ahead and do it again.
Okay. So this is his Facebook post. Tuesday night, I went to bed but was unable to sleep. I went to the living room to sit in my recliner, which usually does the trick. I still couldn't sleep, and gradually I began to feel uncomfortable. I thought maybe I ate something that didn't settle. Later, I felt a sensation that was unfamiliar, like someone had wrapped a net around my chest and began tightening it. I knew something was wrong, and maybe I was having a heart attack. I woke Leslie up and said, "Something is wrong with my body. You need to take me to the emergency." We went to an emergency center nearby where they assessed the situation and said, "We have an ambulance ready to take you to the main hospital." They said the words cardiac infarction, or I think it means
infraction. I believe it is.
Yeah. And Leslie broke into tears. In an instant, I was in the ambulance and the man riding with me asked, "Do you know why you're here? I think I had a heart attack." "You still are having it," he said. At that moment, I took inventory. Have I lived my life well? Am I ready to meet my maker? Okay, God, if this is it, I'm ready.
Boy, if anybody's ready, that guy's ready.
Absolutely. In a matter of minutes, I was in a room surrounded by people and had tubes and wires connected in my body. They ran to stent through my groin to my heart, and all the while I was awake. The morphine must have done the trick. This was no time to just say no. When the procedure was over, I was moved to a room in ICU where I was fitted with Perwick, IVs, and all kinds of tabs to monitor my every function. I felt like Jean-Luc Picard apprehended by the Borg. During the next 2 days, I had a dozen visitors and dozens of calls, texts, and emails. The outpouring was amazing. Last night, they let me come home. It was now Friday. We still have much to do, including a bypass and possibly another stent. It will be a process that takes months factoring in rehab and recovery. The great news is there is no permanent damage to my heart. Greater still was the overwhelming consensus that I am loved. Thank you to everyone for the prayers, the positive thoughts, and the support. I was never alone, even for a second.
Well, Jim, if you're listening right now, you would have been welcomed into heaven with open arms, and you probably would have liked it better there than Minnesota,
yeah,
California, even Texas. But selfishly, I'm glad you're still with us. I'm sure your wife and all your friends feel the same way.
Absolutely. So for those who are wondering, Jim Barrier will not be coming on.
He was going to be back on even in town in
yes,
another
exactly.
month.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it'll be a while before he's back on the show.
Yeah, but the important thing is that he is still with us on this earth, and he is still going to be battling and making sure that his words and the words of everyone is heard loud and clear.
And so, he wrote a book that he was talking about the last time he was on. Mm-hmm. He loves to talk about sports, and he loves to talk about God, so this was a creative way of blending them both together.
Exactly. So I wanted to talk about a book that he just released released last year called Extra Bases, One Fan's Road Trip by Jim Barrier. This book is available on Amazon for physical copy at $4.99 or 99 cents on your Kindle. So if you guys want to read it, I read this book, get this, Bob, just today. That's all I needed. I only needed one day. It's only 80 pages. It's really that short. So,
and I'm guessing it was very captivating and held, because a book could be long or short. The real question is whether it captivates your attention.
So here's one of the things that's quite interesting about this book. I am reading the book in the sense that I'm imagining Jim Barrier's in that studio with you or on the phone call, just telling his story like that. And because I know Jim personally,
you can kind of hear his voice while you're reading it.
Exactly. And so that's what
it's like, an audiobook, only you didn't have to order an audio version.
Exactly. Now, this is going to be the weirdest comparison I'm ever going to make. There's an actor / wrestler named Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He has his own autobiography.
Makes a lot of good movies.
He does. But his autobiography is written like his wrestling character. So one of his wrestling character quotes is that he doesn't say I. He goes, The Rock thinks. The Rock does this. The Rock does that.
Right,
so
right.
It really takes you out of like his personal life when he does his little wrestling gimmick inside his book. So that way I don't connect to it. This one, it really does a good job connecting. He goes from each simple ballpark and then somehow relates to the ballpark or something that happens within that ballpark to his religious adventures where he is today as a retired minister or pastor?
Pastor. You could say either, but he did pastor a church. So
exactly.
One kind of ministry.
His stories are so captivating from the baseball stuff because I'm a huge sports fan, but it's also captivating on the religious side. I mean, knowing his personal life and all the things he had to deal with in order to get to where he is today, it's truly, truly amazing.
And what a great idea to blend both of those together.
Absolutely. If I do have something to say, I would suggest that people listen to a few of the Jim Barrier shows on the Bob Siegel Show, where you can go to bobsiegel.net to listen before you read this book. That way you can get a better comprehension of, I would say, just his personality. And then that way it can...
And he was on just 2 weeks ago, so you could find that one pretty easily on my website.
Absolutely. So it already has a 5 out of 5 review on Amazon.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I couldn't agree more.
That's wonderful.
I think it deserves a 5 out of 5. I am not being biased in this situation. I really am thinking that this, even if I was a complete outsider, I think this book is completely amazing. He sent us an early copy. So yes, you will see some typos here and there, but he's going to fix that over time, he said,
sure,
and everything.
Sure.
So, and not to mention, he just wrote a really nice message inside there with all the Stump Jim Barrier stuff. And everything. I always like that too. So, because we're running kind of late, I do want to mention something about the Minneapolis situation. I can't remember if you did mention this comment or not, but thank goodness we are now not the worst state in America. We are now the second worst state.
Yeah, although ICE is planning on coming here next, and they're finding, just as they're saying, the fraud in California is even worse.
And what a
hard to imagine. But then our governor is Newsom. So it's not all that hard to imagine.
But what a way for Tim Walz to step out of office is dealing with all this tremendous scandal.
If you live in Minnesota, aren't you tired of having Elmer Fudd as your governor? Get rid of that guy. He's a disgrace.
They're going to get rid of him. They only need a few more months.
Well, he already dropped out of the... Yeah, he's not running for re-election. But
even worse, he's thinking about running for president.
He should be taken... Well, he was. He should be taken out in handcuffs.
He should. I mean, come on.
Same with the mayor of Minneapolis.
The amount of evidence we have against both of these politicians,
I don't think they're going to do any time, honestly.
No, of course not.
Nothing's going to happen to them. Nothing's going to happen to Ilhan Omar. Nothing's going to happen. There will be some people in the surroundings that get arrested, but it won't be them.
And I can't tell you, Trump, for example, as much as I would like for him to focus on this and say, get those guys arrested as soon as possible, I know he's got a lot more
the
things
Democrats
on his plate.
Want him to focus on that so that the Republicans can lose the midterms.
Exactly.
That's what our country, and people have got to remember, Trump was reelected because people wanted the border closed. They wanted these thugs and rapists and child molesters taken out of our city, the ones that Biden allowed to cross the border. That's all they're doing. Those are the people that are being protected. I know there are other people that didn't commit those kinds of crimes that are also here illegally. They're not the ones being targeted. I wouldn't have a problem if they were being targeted. They're taking jobs away from other people. They're ruining our economy. They're filling up our schools. Democrats want them here because of voter fraud. The Democrats give all these sanctimonious lectures about immigration. They want them here so we can have more fraudulent elections.
Right.
So that people that aren't here legally can vote Democrat because they're the party that's allowing them to be here illegally.
Right.
Who does anybody think they're kidding?
Right. And states should really focus in on this voter identification. I just looked this up. I didn't even know that North Dakota doesn't even have a voter identification
process. Well, that surprises me because Christine Noem was the... She's
South Dakota.
She was South Dakota.
But North Dakota is pretty conservative, too. Yeah, exactly. So it surprises me that there isn't any there.
Well, like I said, the GOP hasn't always been rock solid either.
No, so. I understand that. Now, going back to the actual situation itself. Yes, the gentleman did have a gun. And yes, one of the things that's crazy about it is that when you're in that situation, a lot of things are going to happen. Your mind shuts off and you are down to just instincts at that point. And I get it. ICE agents should be held at a standard where...
And they're allowed to be preemptive. If he had a gun and they thought he was going to draw it, they had a right. He was already told to stand down and get out of their way.
Exactly.
And why is he even showing up with a gun and several magazine rounds of ammunition?
I agree. The only defense the other side is making is that, well, he's helping a woman that's on the ground and he was an ICU nurse. I don't care.
That's one side of the story. Do we even know that that's the truth? I don't know how much
the parents of the victim are saying that.
Now look, but, I grieve for the parents, but no matter who a person is, the parents are going to come along and tell us what a good person he was. And I'm hearing things like he loved nature. Okay, great.
Who cares?
The left is always bringing up Hitler. Hitler loved nature more than anybody. Hitler was also a vegetarian. So our vegetarians, this is ridiculous. He loved nature. He brought a gun and rounds of ammunition to oppose ICE agents. If he didn't actually draw, but they thought he was going to, well, that's a problem. And now the big scream is that we should let the state authorities investigate this, not the federal. Oh, the state authorities under Mayor Fry, under Governor Walz, that's going to be a fair objection. Fry came out and said these guys were murderers like 5 minutes after it happened. He didn't know that.
And not to
he
mention,
didn't know that at all.
These are federal agents, so they should be under the actual jurisdiction of the federal government itself. And accept whatever punishment
who
comes around.
Who in their right mind, no matter what side you're on, who believes that under Governor Walz and Mayor Fry, we're going to have a fair local investigation of this?
Exactly.
Come on.
And I'll say this too about the ICE agents. Yes, if you look at the video, they did take the gun away, it looks like, in another perspective. That means that there had been better communication with those ICE agents. But like I said, human instincts come about. They see a gun.
Wait, are they saying
panic.
They took the gun away from him before he was shot?
Correct. That's what the other perspective of the video is showing. Now, again, if that's the case, again, human instincts say, I saw a gun. I need to panic.
Okay, what would have been, I hadn't heard that wrinkle. What would have been ICE's explanation for that?
They don't have an explanation. It's still under investigation with everything right now. So they have not made any public statements.
So they're claiming,
that
and then how many seconds between when the gun was taken away
they
from
say,
him? And
they say it's literally 10 or 15 seconds. But again,
so was one pulling the gun away and maybe someone else drew on him at the same time?
Exactly, yeah. And then the trigger figure happened. But again, that's human instincts. When you see a gun, you're here
they're
to panic.
They're being
you're
obstructed.
Yes, exactly. You're going to do whatever you can to stop that victim from doing what they're doing. When you're focused on
how
that
much
situation.
How much time do they have to think and analyze the situation?
Exactly.
And how many self-righteous people that are commenting on this have ever been in a situation like that and had to make that decision?
So when you're focused on that thing, you either A, run, or B, if you're the ICE agents, you have to go into your protocols.
And it's their job to stop him.
Exactly. So again,
told him to stand down, he should have done it.
I agree.
If he didn't, they had a right to stop him.
I'm very sad to hear that he did pass away.
Of course.
He sounds like pretty nice gentleman, but again,
hearing that about him. He wasn't doing nice things at that moment if he was interfering with the law.
Agreed.
And maybe there was a woman that needed help when he got there, but he showed up with a gun and several rounds of ammunition before he encountered that woman.
Agreed.
We got to remember that too.
Like protocols are protocols for ICE agents. I still think that they haven't done anything wrong, and under the federal legal system, especially with how much the Republicans are representing the federal system, I think they should be able to move on.
Well, we already have our first Republican senator saying that we should allow a state investigation.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying every Republican. I'm just saying most of the
Republicans. Well, yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying within the Republicans, I don't trust the Republicans on this.
I do agree with you about this.
People can be so spineless and wusses and they put their finger out to the polls are showing that the public's getting tired of ICE. Forget the polls and just do what's right for once in your stupid political careers.
Absolutely. And I will say this. Now, I did read into the threatened shutdown from the Democrats. I actually have to agree with you. I do think there's going to be a lot of Republicans that are going to be bending over.
They're going to cave.
They're
going to cave somehow. They're certainly not going to get rid of the filibuster to get this through. And
we
have such a small majority in the House. They may even cave in the House.
That one, we can't blame Trump because he didn't appoint those officials in there. It's us as a public that appointed those.
No,
officials,
I agree.
So.
No, I'm not blaming Trump on that. Trump tried to tell them to get rid of the filibuster last time, but they're going to milk this forever. everything they
The only thing that Trump has to blame himself on is Pam Bondi writing a scathing letter over to Tim Walz and saying, how dare you interfere with federal...
That's the least of what he deserves. A scathing letter?
Seriously, I was saying this in the last hour with Dave Stahl, that reminds me of the guy who wears his glasses on the tip of his nose, that Democratic minority speaker. I'm trying to remember his name.
I'm not sure Schumer. Who you're thinking about. Schumer, yeah.
Schumer said, I don't agree with Trump's policies and neither do the Democratic Party, so we wrote him an angry letter.
He needs more than an angry letter. However, he's also being indicted before a grand jury, and they arrested some of the people that broke into that church, so they're doing more than writing scathing letters.
No, I understand.
It is funny, though, yeah.
Yes.
I remember there was this satire movie called Team America.
Yes.
That came out years ago, and they were making fun of the United Nations. Mm-hmm. They were threatening, I think, Kim Jong Il. He says, well, what are you going to do about it? We're going to write you a very serious letter. So, yeah, it is funny, but I have to say, I like Pam Bondi, and I do think she's doing a good job.
Well, in the meantime, I do want to read one more thing, and then we do have to go to commercial because I have to catch up on some of these things. Did you hear about the snowstorm that's going through America right now?
We'd have to be brain dead to have not heard about this. My son lives in a little part of Texas that didn't get it very badly. They live in Waco, which is like right in the middle of the state. So their power hasn't gone out. They're doing okay, but not everyone in the country is faring as well.
So get this. This snowstorm that's going through America is hitting 40 states. If you don't know that, that's 80% of the country getting snow.
Y'all know we have only 50, right?
That's right.
We get Greenland.
I was going to make that. Dang it.
I don't want Greenland. It would come in as a Democratic state. I don't want Greenland.
But it does help us economically.
I understand that it helps us economically. I don't mind us using it, using military bases there. I don't care if we own it. I just don't want it to become a state because it'll be a Democratic state.
Oh, so you want to be a territory?
I'd rather be because we don't need another Democrat state.
Well, here's the thing. Territories don't have to pay federal taxes still, unfortunately.
That sounds like he got the deal he wanted anyway because it was part of the negotiation. He'll put anything on the table, but basically what we got is the right to go in there with all kinds of military bases, more than we have already. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's not going to cost us anything. He was talking about offering them all this money. So I think he got more than what he wanted. But people don't understand that the guy will say anything to negotiate. And it doesn't mean that that's ever what he's really expecting to happen.
I could see that. But he is a very good negotiator.
He's fantastic. The deal he got is, if everything I'm hearing is true, and I know the news always changes, I think that's even better than becoming a state.
Now, I did hear a few other updating stories prior to him mentioning that was Denmark said they were making a petition of some sort to buy California from America. I was like, no, please. And then even worse was another social media post. And again, this is social media posts. So I don't know if these are true news stories. Denmark was willing to trade Greenland for California.
Denmark, if you really want to do something productive, read from your own classic writer, Hans Christian Andersen, The Story of the Emperor's New Clothes, one of the most brilliant stories ever written about jumping on the bandwagon and pretending something's there that isn't really there, such as men being women, such as the world's going to be underwater in 20 years. That's what you could do, Denmark. Attention to your own classic authors.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I have a local news story that I need to share because this is one of the craziest stories I have heard in a quiet some time. So we'll be right back to the Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's
447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Boy, if you thought the protests across the country are kind of strange, this is an even stranger story here. Six people were taken to custody by police on Friday after barricading themselves inside Mayor Todd Gloria's office in downtown San Diego for several hours.
Now, doesn't Todd Gloria agree with all this anti-ICE stuff?
Exactly.
So why are they barricading his office? What, are these rebels without a cause?
Well, let me just say this. The mayor himself has said publicly, both in an executive order and policy speeches, that he has stated that the city will not participate in federal immigration enforcement. So you're right.
So what were they accomplishing other than a few moments of fame? So-called.
So here's what they said. Reporter spoke to one of the protesters who said the group had emailed illicit demands to the mayor, but he had not replied, and that was their reason to do a sit-in in his office. They said that they would arrive at 9:30 a.m. and request a meeting with Gloria, who was not able to do so. After a few hours, began barricading themselves in the office, saying, quote, "We were told we were going to be able to meet with him at 9:40 this morning. He said that he would need 15 minutes to get ready, and we waited till 11 in the morning. Once 11 o'clock hit, we decided to participate in our rights of freedom of speech, and we started to protest. We started to make a little bit of noise because we need answers. We're here for action. We're not here for waiting."
If our country survives someday, years from now, with their grandchildren on their knee, they're going to look back and wonder how they ever could have been so incredibly stupid.
I know. So the police has complete video of this whole situation here. They said that officers arrived at 11:40 a.m. where the group was kicking down doors in the lobby near the mayor's office, insisting to speak to Gloria, even after some staffers tried to speak with them at that point. They said that the protesters started barricading the doors at 2:15. The protesters wanted to discuss the police department's directives regarding interactions with federal immigration enforcement and set new standards for how the department responds to calls related to ICE operations. In response to this whole situation, we have, I think it's Ryan Callahan, who is the San Diego Police Department's captain. He said, quote, "We are not ICE. We do not have anything to do with ICE. We're just law enforcement. We just try to keep the public peace."
What is ICE other than law enforcement trying to keep the public force? I know it's not
exactly
same branch of the law.
No, exactly. Even if you're a federal law enforcement or a civilian, you call us to keep the peace and we keep the peace. That's the biggest part that we put into it. There's no information that we're giving to ICE, and ICE is not giving us information back. That's it. That's what he says, which is so clear and obvious. I don't know what the protesters were there.
Well, there's a lesson here for the mayor. No matter how woke you decide to be, no matter how much you virtue signal, it's never going to be woke enough.
It's true. Now, I do want to point out one of the funny things in this whole story is that the police officers are going to be doing trespassing charges and also vandalization charges because they said there was a couple of scrapes on the desk. So therefore, they're going to charge him.
This sounds as serious as Pam Bondi's scolding letter.
I don't believe this, but you know what? This is the one time I'm going to say to the police department, go for it. Just go ahead and add that charge on there. I saw a scuff mark on my chair.
Oh, brother.
But anyway, so
you know what's really going to happen to them? Nothing.
Exactly. Now, if I could read this one quick thing, our Attorney General of California, Rob Bonta, said here very quickly, I understand that the president's executive order has created some confusion. Let me be clear. California law has not changed, and therefore you do have a legal obligation to stop ICE agents here in the state of California. No, you don't. What part in the federal law does that say?
Forget Trump's executive order. Under the Constitution, you have a legal obligation to work with ICE because we as a state are breaking the law by calling ourselves a sanctuary state.
Yes, exactly.
Didn't our politicians ever take basic... Well, I don't even want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're too stupid to know. They know the truth.
Yes.
The truth, just to quote Al Gore, the truth is not convenient for them.
Exactly. And I would think that out of anyone, the Attorney General would know that federal law trumps state law. So... Henceforth, why we don't have the...
No pun intended.
Exactly, no pun intended.
Trump's law.
Thank you. But no, that's why we don't have that state order about the 2035 zero emissions being a situation anymore. No matter how many times it's going to go through court until the actual Supreme Court, which I doubt they'll pass in the first
but
place.
But even if we hadn't passed a federal law, the Constitution already says that our country has an obligation on the part of the president to protect our borders. So he shouldn't even have to give out an executive order to carry that out.
Exactly. And besides, why of all people, Rob Bonta, are you defending these dumb trespassers who don't understand what they're even protesting about in the first place? It's not necessary, nor do we need
your opinion. Dude, where's the mayor's office? Love, peace, sit in.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for the time that we had on the air. I appreciate it.
All right, Brendan. Thank you. We'll see you all next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.